Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm anxious to meet my maker, preferably not today or this year, but hey, you realize on a day like today, nature bats last, right? We think we're in control. We have the illusion of control. We really don't control anything. What we can control is our reaction to a bad hand. And yeah, we've been dealt a bad hand, but this too will pass. The Democrats narrowly passed through the House on Friday a $3 trillion coronavirus relief package. I want to talk more about that, why it may be needed, as we welcome Congressman Dean Phillips, who is driving back with his recent college graduate daughter, Daniela. Dean Phillips, welcome to the show.
Oh, Paul, it's good to be with you. Great to be in the car with my daughter. And when you just mentioned we can't control everything. I remember my grandmother growing up telling me that we plan and God laughs.
Amen to that, yes. Where did your daughter graduate?
She graduated from Miami of Ohio, and I just flew in to Indianapolis from Washington and just got in the car with her, and we are on the road to Minnesota, and it's going to be the most joyful 9 hours of my life.
You are a good dad, and nothing like a good road trip to get closer to your kids, you know?
Paul, it's a silver lining. Nobody anticipated graduation weekend like the one that we really didn't have, so to spend the time in the car with Daniela is really a blessing.
Well, very cool, and please give her our congratulations as we congratulate all the recent graduates out there. I know it feels like they've been robbed a little bit. Some say they've been cheated. It's just one of those things, but we certainly we want to reflect their accomplishment and yes. Tip of the hat. So
I have them all on my mind, indeed.
So what do you think is going to happen with this latest relief package? The $3 trillion passed narrowly through the House, but it probably doesn't have a prayer of getting through the Senate. Politically, at least not right now, right?
Yeah, it doesn't, Paul, and we knew that. And it, I wish Congress operated the way that any good faith negotiation would play out. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But the bill on which we voted the other day, we all know, is not going anywhere in the Senate. Will not be signed by the president. But it puts down some markers. It establishes the basis for negotiation. And assuming that Mr. McConnell in the Senate and the White House are willing to sit down, which I trust they will, I do believe in the coming couple weeks we will negotiate a thoughtful, actionable plan to provide the relief that we have to. And while disappointed that we can't do so more quickly with all of the suffering, this is how the process works, and it is a beginning, but surely not an end.
Dean, I'm just curious, Congressman, there's never a good time for a pandemic. Many are comparing what we're going through now to the Spanish flu of 1918. You literally have to go back over a century for a similar moment in time with a global pandemic. And the fact that it's coming now during a presidential reelection, how do we prevent the two from becoming hopelessly intertwined in that every time there's a new development with coronavirus and a vaccine, that it doesn't get spun by political pundits or political operatives. I mean, to me, it just seems like we're juggling hand grenades right now.
I agree, Paul. You know, I've studied the 1918 pandemic, particularly how Minnesota and more specifically how Minneapolis and St. Paul handled it. Those who've looked into it will know that there were some differences. And even back in 1918, over 100 years ago, a lot of the same anxiety and protest and dismay was occurring in our own community back then. Debating what approach was correct, which one was overkill, what wasn't enough. So, you know, we're Americans. Our culture demands thoughtful debate and robust deliberation. I'm not surprised by that. But I am disappointed and frankly concerned that, you know, once again, you know, sides are taken, politics works its way into something that should be unifying, you know, not polarizing and not divisive. But until our country, fellow countrymen and women are willing to, you know, pursue facts, identify truth, and then debate, until that happens, it's going to be complicated. And, you know, I'll say one more thing. I was just on a flight with about 60 passengers, and I was shocked at how many people were not wearing masks. And, you know, the truth is, and I hope everybody knows, the mask isn't for oneself. It's to protect others from you if you happen to be a carrier. So to me, right, it is patriotic to protect your fellow Americans, old and young, and protect them from the potential that you might transmit something. So until we all come together and recognize we all play a role, particularly if we want to get the economy reopened and businesses back with their lights on, we've all got to participate together, and I'm on a mission to try to inspire that.
Yeah, I try to remind people, I don't care what your political persuasion is, and frankly, COVID-19 doesn't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. Wearing a mask is an act of respect. It's an act of empathy and compassion. It means that I'm looking out for your health just in case I'm asymptomatic and walking around with this bug without even knowing I'm walking around with the bug.
Exactly.
Representative, tell us something that you're optimistic about and what keeps you up at night. I know you have a long laundry list of things to keep you up at night, but tell us some of the good and tell us the things that you are most concerned about.
Well, the good is, and I think it's underreported and underappreciated, is that there are a lot of good people in Congress. I work on the Problem Solvers Caucus. I've spoken with you about it on a number of occasions. It fills me with hopefulness. We are already active in trying to find common ground after Friday's vote to identify the elements on which there's agreement, identify the elements that might need modification, have some thoughtful debate and deliberation, and hopefully inspire the White House, the Senate, and the House to work together. That is our role. And my brothers and sisters, Democrats and Republicans on the Problem Solvers Caucus, fill me with optimism for both the short term and the long term. You know, with that said, I am concerned about the national tenor and tone of respect and decency. Use the word empathy. I believe that is something that has to begin and emanate from the White House. But it also starts in neighborhoods throughout the country and will work its way back to Congress. But I invite everybody listening and your friends and family and loved ones and neighbors to consider toning down the rhetoric. I would usually say reach out your hand, but in this case, you know, it's got to be a knuckle punch or a wave. But come together. You know, the rest of the world is watching us now. And this is a war. It's not against a foe with missiles or bombs. It's a viral war. And the world is watching how we Americans behave. And nothing would sadden me more than if they see this country ripped apart at its seams in a time like this. So let's rise to the occasion and be the compassionate, extraordinary nation that I know we are.
I keep reminding listeners and family members, anybody who will listen, that more than ever, this is a time for the scientific method, for good sound science, for evidence, for facts, for experts, for epidemiologists. I You know, I tend to, and I know the models are all over the place, just like weather models, which have driven me nuts, Dean, for 45 years. I know the COVID models are all over the map, but if we stop listening to scientists, to PhDs, to people who have devoted their entire careers to studying viruses, I think we set ourselves up for a very long 18 months. And hopefully we'll get that vaccine sooner than later, but really appreciate.
If I could say one more thing, you know, on that subject, you know, the reason the models are all over the place is no scientist and no modeler can predict every human's actions and behavior. And if we all take our own personal steps to protect both our families, our communities, if we're in business to protect our employees and our customers, if we each take the steps we know we need to, I hope those models are totally wrong, because that will mean we did a good job. And the reason that so far, despite the fact we got way too late of a start and were poorly prepared, the reason that the fatality numbers are lower than some anticipated by this stage is that many Americans, you know, heeded the call to action and took the difficult steps to stay inside and stay in their homes. So I remind everybody that the reason we're in a little bit of a better position now and that we see some light at the end of the tunnel is because most Americans did heed that call, and like I said, I hope we continue to, and keep the faith, everybody, and stay optimistic, because we're going to get through this if we do it together.
Well said. Yeah, growing up, Dad used to say actions have consequences, and we have rights and we have responsibilities. We want to keep our families safe, but I think we have a responsibility to keep each other safe, and so thank you for the gentle reminder. Representative Phillips, thank you. And again, congratulations to Daniela. Safe travels, and looking forward to having you back again down the road.
Hey, thank you, Paul, and to all the high school and college graduates this weekend. Your futures are bright, and I cannot wait to see what you're going to do for all of us. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Representative Dean Phillips. Appreciate the call.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.